today I want to continue me'inyin le'inyin ba'isa'inyin, the prohibition of entering into a church. So the first day we discussed the halacha, the second day we discussed a case study of the inauguration of Obama, and today I want to discuss something not very, very light about things that we do in a shul that we are not allowed to do because it resembles what is done in a church. Okay, so I'm in now. Well, just a few short examples. I'm mainly quoting from the Imre Baruch, Rabbi Baruch Simon, one of the Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshiva University, in his classic Sefer Imre Baruch on Minhagei Yisrael. Toikif HaMinig BeHalacha. He has here quite an elaborate chapter on various things that are done in the Batei Knesset which are problematic, which are similar to things that are done in a church. Now, some things that I want to talk about just a few short things, and I want to just make some observations. First thing first is the most classic issue is the bima. The bima, if where is the position of the bima? Now, in a church, it appears they have a bima. They have a duchan, a platform. And where is the duchan? The duchan is up front on the stage, near whatever, all the way up front. And it appears that that the reform movement, it was their main agenda.
That's one of the
Hassan Pfeiffer. Oh, exactly. We're going to discuss it's very quickly some of the issues. So the issue of when the reform became very, very popular and did damage to Klal Yisrael, they tried to style their temples after the church, and they brought in an organ, and they did other things. But one of the main things they did was they relocated the bima to the front of the temple, to the stage. So what is that? So the question over here is this really usur? Now, the crux of the issue, and this really goes through everything in the entire chapter, and this is the machlokes, he brings down rishayim once, achrayim, many people who argue on the same point. The issue is, when something is done in a church, you have to go speak to the theologians and to the people who make the rules, and they worship the Avodah Zarah. Why are they doing something in the church? Are they doing it because this is the law? This is what they have decided is the means of service. It's part of the ceremony. This must be done. Well, the only reason why they have done this is because of for convenience. Why in a church is it that an architect will always put the duchan, what they call the platform, whatever it's called, why does an architect who is skilled to design a church, will he always put what we will call the bima in the front? Because this is how it has to be. It's in the textbook. This is the law. This is what it says. This is what their tradition is. Or it's just a matter of convenience. Because if you want to have a nice open area, you want to have a good seating, you want it to be comfortable, so you put the platform where the service is done on a stage in the front. It's not for any religious reason. So, seemingly, the duchan is in the front is not a religious reason. It's just there for convenience. Let's give another example, the organ. Why do they use an organ? Now this, you should know, is debatable. Some are of the opinion that an organ, it has to be only an organ. There is some religious connection to an organ.
There are others that put an isser on playing the organ.
Okay, we're going to come to that. But the question is, you have to go ask them. I don't know. You have to ask, why do you use an organ? Is this a requirement? Gesundheit. Is this a requirement? What happens if you don't have an organ? An organ is very expensive. Who else can afford an organ? So that means that the service is not a kosher service? You and Yaitse have to daven Shemona Esrei again. Is it ma'akev? L'chora, it's not ma'akev. It's something that's only done to enhance the service. It should sound good. If that's the case, why are they using an organ? There are other instruments. Today, they said that years ago, there's nothing like an organ. The organ is, it's Gan Eden.
The pipe organ.
Really? It's really Gan Eden? It's a really matter of hearing it? Or it's a matter of yoifi, the sound. There's no music that today with electronical instruments and all of modern technology, probably the organ is dull. I would imagine we can do a lot better. Right? We can do a lot better today with modern, with all the modern technology and instruments. We can do better than. He writes over here about a certain. He writes up that the organ. It was. There's nothing like the organ, and that's why, in order to show that this is the ideal place to service to pray to God, whatever, you have to go and have the organ. Is that part of the service? Was just a convenience. So let's take a lenient stance and say that these things are just a matter of convenience.
Music
of the organ, of the organs, special musical notes for the organ, for the organ. So the issue over here is, here's the issue. The issue is, there's a major debate among the poskim. I don't have the names because I went through this very quickly, but there's a major debate among the poskim when you find that the goyim, they do something out of convenience. And that convenience has become very popular, and it would be already strange among them not to do it. It would be very bizarre if you go to a church and the platform would be in the middle. The platform would be where the priest gives his sermon would be in the, it's very rare. It's just, but it's not a requirement. This is just what is expected and what is done. If this is now done in a Beis HaKnesses, is this in halacha considered to be a violation of Uvichuko Seyem Loi Seylehu? Many Paiskim say no. It's not a violation. In other words, if they are playing an organ, and there's nowhere in the New Testament that it says you have to have an organ in the part of the service, it's not part of any written rule, any tradition that it's ma'akev in their service. They only do it to enhance their prayer, and now it's become the standard. It's the gold standard of their service. For a Jew to introduce such a service into a Beis HaKnesses would not necessarily be a violation, a technical textbook violation of Uvichuko Seyem Loi Seylechu. It's obviously not in the spirit of the law, but it's not a violation. L'may nafkamina? What?
You're not allowed to have music in a shul.
In a shul, why not? The Beis HaMikdash, well, is they recorded in halacha? It's tikkun mana. You may come to fix it. So what about during the week, though? We're going to get to some of these issues.
Who has time for music?
Now, the truth is, let's take a step back. In the Beis HaMikdash, let's take a step back. Every Beis HaKnesses is a mikdash me'at.
Yeah.
In the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim used musical instruments. The Levim served as a choir.
Right.
They accompanied the bring of the korbanos.
Right.
The bring of the korbanos. Who has choirs in their service? The goyim. Christians, the church choir accompanies the service. They have the organ, and they're the ones who have what? So I'm making an observation. I want to make a double observation. Two things. First of all, why do we have a right to have a choir? That's not a traditional way to daven. In ancient times, go back 100 years ago. I don't know, maybe I'm totally wrong. The Beis HaMikdash. Absolutely, they was musical instruments.
Schools, even in Europe, Chazan had a choir.
Yes.
How far back? Okay. Fine, so maybe it was done. Now,
what do you call it? In the Portuguese KAJ?
This, a choir is something. Wait, all my observation is. Rabbi Sai, please. My observation is, in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Saifli, in Shulchan Aruch, to the best of my knowledge, nowhere does it say anything about a choir. You have a Baal Tfilah. You have a Shliach Tzibur. There is one Shliach Tzibur, period. Okay, Enochinami. Among the churches, there is no question, part of the service, we've all seen this on television, part of the service is, there is a choir, when they pray, there's a leader and there's a choir and there's the system. In Shulchan Aruch, there is absolutely nothing about having a choir accompany the Shliach Tzibur. It doesn't exist. At face value, I'm just making an observation. Don't shout me down yet. At face value, this is not part of halacha. It's not even minhag. You don't see this done in every single shul. In this, but on the other hand, it's something that's very common. It appears among the goyim. And it's very interesting that this thing, to some degree, has come into our Batei Kinesios. You're telling me that it existed in Europe hundreds of years ago. Good. And I'm sure by the Gedol, I'm not coming to Amachal, of course. But it's just something, where did this come from? Where did this come? Now, of course, it goes without saying that when you think of the thing on your own, and it has nothing to do with the Chukos HaAmim, of course. But we also have this concept of he keeps referring to this, the Matseva. That in the time of the Avos, the Matseva was cherished. A one stone altar was cherished. In the Beis Hamikdash, Hashem says you're not allowed to have a one stone altar. It has to be made from multiple stones, even though this something was cherished in the time of the Avos, because the government adopted this technique, has now been hated. So we see that in Halacha, we do make an observation. If this is what the Goyim do, and this is perceived to be one of their techniques, one of their customs, and you're doing it in the shul, you are raising eyebrows. People are going, what exactly are you doing? And if you're going to tell me, but by the Goyim, they don't do this because this is the halacha, because this is what you have to do. They do this out of convenience. Eino chinami. That lowers the bar, that lessens the degree of severity, but it's still without question. Many poskim say, if this has become the standard, has become the norm among the umos ha'olam, even though they only did it for convenience, if the Jews begin to do the same exact thing, and to an outsider, to an observer who is familiar with the culture, comes and sees what's going on, he would right away say, oh look, the Jews do what the guys do. It is a halachic issue of uvichikosem loyselecho. So I'm making an observation. Choirs, and it has to be that it's mutter because it's done all over the world. Today you go to a hotel, and if there's no choir, you can demand a refund. Right? This is not the way. What? The great synagogue, right? Of course, all the big synagogues, but it's a renaissance. It's only a resurgence for years ago. We grew up years ago. You never had choirs in America years ago. What? You were in the choir. All right, okay.
You grandfather's shul on the east side.
Yeah.
It was a choir.
Which shul?
The Babish on the east side.
No, that's my grandfather's shul. He's not doing my
right
shul.
Yeah.
They had a choir. Alright, okay. Next thing, I want to make another observation. Fine, okay, I told you, just an observation.
A choir,
yeah,
is a very good thing for a simple reason. People don't talk so much when they're quiet.
In Shulchan Aruch, a tzila is private prayer. There is joining together as a tzibor. There's a shliach tzibor. The rules of davening are not up to us. The rules of davening are what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Period. In the Shulchan Aruch, there is no such thing as a choir. Not in halacha. Not in minuk. This is something which the goyim clearly do, and obviously it has carried over to us to some degree. Right. Yes.
Or we did it and they carried it over.
At the Aguna convention,
yeah.
Shabbos morning,
it was a choir.
I was not a choir, but I was astonished to see that besides the Shliach Tzibor, all of a sudden that Shlicha, and then when they put the Torah away, all of a sudden a well-known professional singer became a soloist during that part of the document.
And he was not, he's not the Shlech Tzibor.
Yes.
Okay.
He wasn't. Yeah.
Okay, so this is something new. This is something new which borders,
The big Orthodox shuls in Europe that were built in the late 1800s all have choirs.
In the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, where my cousin is the rabbi, I saw my own eyes. I was there for a bris. I was there for a ceremony. They have a choir. They have a choir. They have a balcony for the choir. Unfortunately, not all the people in the choir are even Jewish.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Okay. They're not even Jewish. That's a fact. They're not even Jewish. Number two, the choir, the songs. You have to analyze what exactly the nuschos, what they sing. They have a part of the services that when the rabbi steps up to give the drasha, they also before he comes to Kinesh, they sing. All right, whatever it is. But it's a step. Next thing, observation. Okay, here's my observation. This is not in the books. I'm just asking a question. Here's an observation. Slichas, Mitzvah Shabbos, the Kalbach Slichos, led by Yehuda Green. Okay, now every Sunday after the first Slichos, I go online and I look for the video to see recording on the Slichos.
This year they had a few, not only Yehuda Green, in Yerushalayim.
Okay, now it became
it was nice.
Very nice, that's beautiful, it's interesting to watch.
Really
question. I've known it from the very beginning. When Yehuda Green, when he's for years ago, he's accompanied by people playing the guitar. When he did for Kalbach, played the guitar and did Slichas.
Yes.
This is taking it to a new level.
Oh, yes.
Because even though it's true, you're telling me a choir, okay, there's a choir, but the tefillah should be accompanied by the playing of music. That's not in Shulchan Aruch. That's sure not in Shulchan Aruch. What? We don't do. I began with that disclaimer. There's no question in the Beis Hamikdash. The Levim stood al Hadukhan, and the Levim had musical instruments. And there's a machlokes the ikashir bechli or bepeh. And every Beis Hakness is a mikdash maat. We start acknowledged. That has been acknowledged. That is a fact. But you have to also, understand that that was done as part of the korbanos. That accompanied the korbanos. That's that did not accompany the actual tzila. The tzila is the mokim akorbanos, but it's accompanying the korbanos. It's a little bit different. I acknowledge that. I'm just to make observations. This that has become very popular today, that slichos is accompanied by people playing musical instruments, is a very dangerous break of tradition.
Of course.
You're telling me that choirs has already been done years ago. Did it exist? Shonim kadmonios, that they played musical instruments to accompany tefillah?
In the Middle Ages?
No. So this is something which is really pushing the bar. And no one, I have not heard anyone, any comment on all of the blogs, what in the world is going on? Slichos is tefillah. In fact, it's tefillah in its highest form. You say tiskabel tzoloson, and you have musical instruments only in the church.
And dancing.
Dancing also. But dancing, you can say, you know, dancing is shuckling, you know. Kolatz moysay tamar nakar. Yeah, that's right. Dancing, the chassidim. You should know that Hasidim already been doing dancing during davening for 400 years. Havdalah is not tefillah. Havdalah is making of a bracha. Havdalah is a lower level. So Havdalah already you can argue with a guitar and doing these elaborate Havdalah ceremonies. The Havdalah ceremonies should also become very popular. A new thing. What?
Yeah, you say tiskabel.
Avada, Slichas Ashrei, and the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, it's in the higher level. Your mom would say Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, Mitzibor.
Yud Gimel Midas.
So this is my observation. This appears to be a very dangerous breach in something that was never done. Mm-hmm. To have musical instruments accompany tefillah. Okay, so this is, but this has become very popular today. This becomes a new trend. Yeah. And no one's talking about this yet.
Wait,
let him say something, yeah.
Maybe a choir like replaced a musical instrument.
A choir?
A choir.
But the
you cannot have a choir anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe a choir kind of replaced the musical instrument.
The choir replaced the music, but it's not in Shulchan Aruch.
No, but there is nothing wrong with it. I mean,
why is there nothing wrong with it? Why is there nothing wrong with it?
Let me fix it. Yeah. Some people it enhances the davening.
Very nice. So music theory, if we want to enhance the davening, there's no limit. The argument that you want to enhance the davening, there's no limit to what we can start doing to enhance the davening. We can have a band, and we can have food being served, and we can find all these new techniques to enhance the davening. So, but this is not the way davening was done. Davening is a communication between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Also, a lot of times when you're singing the tefillah gets a geshmak, a different kavanah.
So that's exactly what he's asking. So you can start innovating once you start making innovations by bringing in a choir. You can compare it to this. Okay, I wanted to say a few more things.
The whole thing also is repetition of words.
You know, you go to
and there's another thing.
The whole davening is a different
thing. Okay, there are two things. Number one, there's something called uvichuko seyem lo seylechu. If this is the way it's done by the goyim, to take their techniques and bring it to the Beis HaKnesses is also. The goyim wanted to inspire the tzibur. They brought in musical instruments. They bring in an organ. Bringing in the organ was a way, obviously, people feel you come down and it's too dry. How can you just daven, someone leaves and they sing a little bit? The goyim realized it was too dry. So what did they do? They brought in musical instruments. They brought in the organ. So basically, when we're going to go start taking musical instruments, it's not the organ. The guitar is not an organ. But really, it's trying to copy what the goyim have done, because if Chazal did not institute that you should have musical instruments, obviously felt that's not what tefillah is. Reassess what are you trying to accomplish when you daven? To be on a high with a nigun, that's not what your kavanah is meant to be. What it is, that's another discussion. Once you want to start making innovations, you can change the place where the chazan davens, you can change how the davening is arranged, you can have a place to start playing videos in the middle of davening to see the Gedolei Yisrael, to be inspired by their conduct right at certain points in the Shemona Esrei. There's no limit what you can start doing once you start breaking away from tradition. This is it. Now, just to show you how far this goes, just to illustrate, this the total Shakti is brand new to me, is that it appears, if I'm reading correctly, maybe I'm not reading this correctly, but Rav Yosher Ber Salvechik, he was mafakvek on how are we allowed in the Beis HaKnesses to have stained glass windows. Stained glass windows. Okay, every shul today.
Stained glass with pictures.
With pictures, whatever, with pictures.
Yes, again, plain stained glass. Historically, Hasidic shuls or shuls all over Europe had paintings on the wall.
I know that.
Some of the paintings had people in the paintings, and he had.
But this, what he writes, how did this start? Is this what I'm reading between the lines? Is that, go back, this, the idea of stained glass windows, it's not just a beautiful mokum for davening. You know, you can have a nice mokum for davening. How do you define what a mokum davening? But the windows should be dissolved. This was something which started with the churches. The churches are the ones who invented this concept to beautify this synagogue, their sanctuaries with stained glass.
Reason they invented the church, the windows, was because the people couldn't read, and the only way they would understand
obviously this is not accepted, because the most beautiful shuls that are built today obviously are built with the most elaborate stained glass windows, but it's an observation that he makes to go show you how far that some Gedolim have actually questioned,
yeah,
to show you.
Yosher Ber also said, if you want to know what music was played in the Beis HaMikdash, listen to some ancient church music. Took it all from the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah. Which
old church, Aleinu L'Shabach, this from the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's conclude with one last thing, the sanctity of the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, I want to
Shabach and Yom Ha'Rayim was adopted by the church.
Right. Yeah.
They adopted it from us.
Okay, let's one last thing. Yeah, this is a very interesting thing. Talking, Rabbi Yosef, please, two more minutes. Talking during davening in the Beis HaKnesses. This is a very frightening. Listen.
You should ask them, because they're always quiet.
Listen, there's a very.
So we have to talk.
Okay, I have here a journal. Listen, wait, right side. The reason why I'm mentioning this is as follows. I have here the journal from 1997, spring 1997. We actually use the journal form. There is an article here, a very interesting article by a psychologist, Irving N. Levitz. Oh, yeah. And you know who he is?
Yes.
Okay, he's talking during tefillah, understanding the phenomenon. What does it come from? So now he quotes here a medrash which ties into this issue. This is a very frightening medrash with about Malach, and they come to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sure you can probably find this in the FJJ, the same medrash somewhere there. Where the Malachim come to Kadosh Baruch Hu and they have complaints. Every complaint that the Malachim say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, big deal. I have an answer for you. I have an answer for this taina, that taina. The only taina that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have an answer for is the Malachim say, Ribbono shel Olam, when the Goyim go to church and they pray, it's quiet. But when the Jews go to their synagogues, there's talking during davening. And the Medrash says, he quotes this obscure Medrash, Hashem says, got me. Gotcha. No, you got me. They talk and davening also. My father once said this over.
Good, even when they're talking, they're davening.
My father once told him, I said this over, so someone there was in the shul and says, oh, come on, I used to go to church also. I'll tell you that in church, they talk just as much as they talk in shul. Okay, the goyim talk. But this is what it says in the Medrash. Wait, hear me out. We're running out of time. So he says over here, there's a comparison that in the churches, there seems to be one up, is that they have a certain degree of ema, they don't talk during davening. So he writes over something very fascinating. He writes over here, first of all, let's talk, every Beis HaMikdash is a Mikdash Ma'at. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you came to daven, it wasn't just an experience of davening, there was also social activity. And it's in Meferish HaMishnah, a chassanim would sit and one side of the chotzer, and Avelin, the Misaskim had a booth. Misaskim had a booth, and Shelly Lang had a booth, right? They had booths. The Epirion, the Ateres Chinka had a booth in one place. Everyone had a booth. So what do you see from that? It's a fair show, and then you go to the base. Why were you going to the base of HaMikdash? I'm going there to daven. Ki beisi beis tefila yikarei l'chol amin. And once I'm there ready, you pay a shiva call, and you wish someone a mazel tov. So you see from the Mishnah that the Beis HaMikdash was not just a place to daven. That's another thing. Walked out differently, now they go to the same door. But what do you learn from this? That the Beis HaMikdash is not just a place to daven. It's a social experience. If the Beis HaMikdash is a place just to daven, there's no business having a Misaskim booth, and there's no business having an Ateres Sechinka booth. Doesn't belong there. Another Gemara, Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. Where did you sit when you paid me your membership dues? They asked you, what do you do for a living? If you're a blacksmith, so you're a silversmith, you go here. If you're a carpenter, you go over there. Why? Just in case you don't have Parnassah, well, you'll go among your group. So that, what does that mean? What do you mean I'm here to daven? I'm not here to get a job. I'm not here to, if you want to be smart, you should mix everyone up. You have nothing in common with your neighbor, so there's nothing to talk about. If you're going to sit, all of the carpenters are going to sit together, they're all going to talk business. All of the techies are going to sit together, they'll fight. They'll ask you today, do you use a Samsung or an iPhone? Apple versus Samsung. You know, you have to know which section you sit in. They schmooze all the way, right?
They talk away.
So what do you learn from this? You learn from this, he basically says, a very important yesod, you learn from this an incredible yesod. Ein hachinami. A church, Beis HaKnesses, is not like a church. Don't make a shul into a place. Don't make a shul into a place where it's so dry, where if you talk during davening, they throw you out. Because the truth is, Shulchan Aruch says, don't get me wrong, Gadol Avaynoi Minaso. The only place that says in Shulchan Aruch where the sin is so great you can't even survive is talking during davening. Gadol Avaynoi Minaso. In the Hay Chashmona Esrei, Gadol Avaynoi Minaso, talking during davening. Let's not make no mistake about it. Talking during davening. But you have to also realize that a Beis HaKnesses is not a church. In a church, it appears that the derech is, among the goyim, you come here to communicate with God. That's why it's so, you get these impressions, they're dark places, churches. A lot of them, you walk by, it's like, a Beis HaKnesses, it's Chazal. A Beis HaKnesses is a social, it's in addition to communicating with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's also a social event. That's what it says.
Except the Lisa Basometric.
The problem is we get a little bit carried away. That's the problem. Now he has over here a whole psychological analysis of how to stop talking there. So he says over here, there are three reasons why people come to shul. This is the way a psychologist looks at a Beis HaKnesses. Some people come because they really want to daven. They daven. Some people come because davening, they don't really feel that their davening makes a difference, at least subconsciously. They come, it's a social event. You meet your friends, you talk, you get together. And then he talks about people that come, well, they also come for social, they come, but he explains that, let's take a step back. The people who come to really daven, you don't have to worry about it. They're not going to talk. And if they're going to talk, it's very easy to convince them they're not talking. There are people who appreciate davening, but they feel they're not successful. They try, they're not cut out for it, so they fall back on the social event. Those type of people, it's very hard to turn around. Then there are people, he says, a group of people, that when they daven, they get very scared. Subconsciously, when you connect with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, you realize, I'm in trouble. My life is a wreck, I really can't relate, and you subconsciously you panic, and as an escape from confronting the reality of coming before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you look for an escape to talk to your friend to get out of it. People don't even realize some people are in that category. Everyone falls in that category. Either you come to daven, I love davening, but I also want to talk to my friend. It's more of a social event for me than it is davening. And then people that davening to a certain degree is a negative experience because they're so afraid, they're so super sensitive of confronting themselves. When you daven seriously, it's very disturbing. You realize, what is life all about? What am I trying to accomplish? Where am I going? Where am I heading? I'm inadequate. And you enter into a panic mode, and the only way you can release the panic mode, a healthy way to release the panic mode, is to escape. And the way you escape in the Beis HaKnesses is to communicate with your friend. So he basically says, I think Rocky Zweig wrote a very good article this past week about, there's really no solution. Let's not fool ourselves. There's no solution to stop people from talking during davening. But he says in this article, the best thing at least is to appreciate in what frame of mind the people are in to tackle the issue. People who want to daven, don't worry, you'll get them very easy. People who are coming for the social experience, it's a problem. You have to attack it from recognizing what the problem is. And the people who are in the third category, who are afraid of davening, subconsciously, not even realizing it, and they're looking for an escape, they have to be taught that it's not so terrible to daven. You don't have to be afraid to daven. And then when they enter into that frame of mind, it will not necessarily be so difficult to convince them to stop talking. Easier said than done, but at least we take away this yisod, uvichusim lo seilechu, you see from Chazal, that a Beis HaKnesses to some minor degree is also a social experience. It's not like a church, which from the Medrash is a place just to only you and God and nothing else. That's not what the Beis HaKnesses is meant to be. All right, we'll stop over here.